Coming up on podcast 1240, Tesla opened their doors to the Berlin factory for a public party. Stick around, I'll tell you all about it. Also on the show today, the semi-truck is being delayed by a little, but by how much? New Google Maps feature for EV drivers and James Bond's Aston goes electric. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Sunday, 10th of October. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. We'll start with the news of Tesla, and not the Giga Party, which we'll get onto in a moment, but rather the news that they'll be moving their headquarters. This was threatened earlier this year. Maybe it was last year. Goodness, when was the COVID spat with the local authorities in California? But now it's official. Elon Musk says, "I'm excited to announce that we're moving our headquarters to Austin, Texas," Elon Musk said earlier this week on Thursday during the Tesla shareholders meeting. The electric car company is currently based in Palo Alto, California, near the original headquarters in San Carlos, and its first factory in Fremont, according to CNN.com. Elon Musk saying that there is a limit to how big you can scale in the Bay Area. CNN Business saying that he cited housing affordability and the long commutes that it can create as hurdles for its current location, and said the Austin factory is 5 minutes from the airport and 15 minutes from downtown. The median home price in Palo Alto, the median is $3.3 million. So, of course, you are, if you work at the Fremont factory, getting up at, I don't know, 5, 5:30, getting a bus for a long way, or driving, and then hopefully you can secure some sort of parking, but it's probably going to be a little ways away from the factory. You're definitely not parking outside Fremont door unless you are, I would say, much more senior in the chain. So, of course, what does this mean for the Fremont facility? Well, it's not being closed down, and actually Tesla are taking out more square footage in terms of leasing office space. They're taking on the old HP building, aren't they? And so they're not leaving California for good. Is it symbolic? Well, I think it's more than that. They're probably, the headquarters operations will be moving out of California and moving to Texas. They're not shutting down Fremont by any means. Texas, though, has been actively recruiting companies via what's called the Texas Economic Development Act, offering tax breaks to put new facilities into the state. Austin, with a top tech university and cultural events like South by Southwest, is a draw for tech employers, says CNBC. Tesla has not been happy with one set of regulations in Texas, at least. The state bans direct sales of cars. Car companies sell their vehicles through independent franchise dealerships in the state of Texas, and there's no sign of that changing anytime soon. In other states where similar laws apply, Tesla has fought to change the rules or exploited loopholes. And many people, when they knew that this was going to be on the card, saying, well, Elon Musk will have a word. He's the richest man on the planet. He'll make the politicians do whatever he wants. As of now, there is no sign of that changing. So I'm kind of interested. It's a quirk of the story, if you like. They're moving their operations, at least the headquarters operations, to a state that doesn't allow them to sell their cars. You have to go out of state to buy a Tesla and then bring it back. But that'll probably change at some point in the future. The date it'll change, no one's quite sure on that. But Texas is certainly not rolling over and saying, tickle my belly, to Mr. Musk. Well, during the annual meeting of stockholders, Elon Musk noted it'll take a few decades until the world will switch entirely to battery electric vehicles. The main point is that the global vehicle fleet stands at 2 billion units. It's kind of a number that floats around. I read 1.6, 1.8, 2 billion units. I guess some people talk about vehicles, some talk about passenger cars, but either way, depending on what study or metric I read, it's a mega number when you think about it. Not even 1% of those, of the fleet, of the car park, is all electric, says Inside EVs. Assuming that 100% of new vehicles are fully electric at 100 million a year, it would take 20 years to replace 2 billion vehicles. The 20-year period might be considered as the age of a vehicle until it goes to the junkyard. So if I clicked my fingers and overnight every single passenger vehicle was pure electric, it's going to take 20 years to get polluting, poisonous fossil burners off the road. But of course, the car companies, not all of them, some of them still want to be selling you a car that's going to last, you know, 20, 25 years, way into the future. So whilst the bans, the, you know, 20, it's going to be 2030 here, 2025 in Norway. That's not legally binding, but I think it's a kind of parliament kind of ambition, but it's pretty sturdy. Some European countries, 2035. Look, either way, whatever date you put on it, there's going to be these cars driving around for a long time. And if it turns out that people really want to drive battery electric vehicles, of course, the price of used petrol and diesel are going to plummet so much that nobody's going to want them. But even then, there's vehicles being made with resources mined out of the ground that no one's going to want. Or they're going to be done, you know, bought at dirt cheap prices and look, or maybe even shipped to developing countries. Like, I don't know how it's going to play out, but it's not going to be quick. But we're doing it, and we're doing it as quick as we can. Well, chip shortages and ship shortages are some of the only things that could stop Tesla's growth. Chips and ships, easy how you say that. A double whammy of a global shortage of chips and ships are the only things standing in the way of Tesla maintaining their sales growth. People often talk with Tesla about a 50% sales growth every single year. According to Fortune.com, Elon Musk said, "We've had a fantastic year. We had record vehicle deliveries at the annual shareholder meeting," he told the audience and those watching online. He says, "It looks like we have a good chance of maintaining that. Basically, if we can get the chips, we can do it. Hopefully this chip shortage will alleviate soon, but I feel confident of being able to maintain something like at least above 50% for quite a while. One of the biggest challenges we had in Q3 was, can we get enough ships?" Not chips, he said. "There was a huge ship shortage," saying that there's significant cost pressure in the supply chain, forcing Tesla to increase car prices temporarily. One of the reasons any company chooses to locate is incentives, is subsidies. And on that subject, Fortune.com write, "The German government is expected to decide before the end of the year just how much state aid Tesla will receive for its battery units at Giga Berlin. The company is investing 5 billion euros, 5.8 billion US dollars in the plant." The German daily publication Tagesspiegel reports that this unusually high investment means the US carmaker can count on German state subsidies. Germany at the moment expected to put into the pot about 1.14 billion euros of state aid. Yeah, choosing Germany was no accident. Of course, lots of people here thought Tesla were maybe lining up a bit of a beauty parade between places like the UK, Germany, maybe Poland or Czech, or those places that would be much cheaper to get staff and cheaper to make vehicles. But of course, Germany, one of the more expensive places, one of those places that is full of union difficulties. But hey, they didn't make that decision lightly, and we're finding out that there were 1.14 billion reasons they chose Germany. And why not? All big companies are like, show me the money, right? Okay, next we'll talk about Tesla holding Gigafest in Germany. That's a little more recent. Been a busy week of Tesla. I've kind of been stacking up some Tesla news for today. With a big wheel, music, and an appearance by Mr. Musk, Tesla pulled out all the stops to win over opponents of their new Gigafactory near Berlin. We keep calling it Giga Berlin. It's a long way out of Berlin. Thousands of people were brought in by shuttle buses with long queues forming at the sites. The first European factory, says Yahoo News. Demonstrators were on the scene on Saturday morning with a few people bearing signs like "Stop Tesla" and "Water and forest aren't for profit," gathered around 100 metres from the site. On the same 300-hectare plot, they will build the world's biggest battery factory, according to Tesla. And the site will boast the world's largest die-casting machines as well. Director of the Centre for Automotive Research in Germany said, Ferdinand Dudenhofer, "In the event that the factory is not approved, Tesla will be compelled to dismantle every rivets, every steel girder, and put it all back to how the site was." Despite Germany's reputation for efficiency, major infrastructure projects are slowed down by excess bureaucracy in Germany. Berlin's new international airport opened in October 2020. They started 8 years before it. Now, nobody thinks that Giga Berlin will take 8 years, but those, again, like I said earlier with Texas, thinking that Mr. Musk will sweep in on his private plane and tell the Germans what they'll be doing, well, that's just not the way it's done. But he's very confident. Cars, November, December. Customer cars, November, December sometime. Hey, even if it's January next year, that's still pretty amazing progress. So, Giga Fest, did you go? I'd like to know if any of my listeners went to GigaFest. That'd be absolutely fascinating to know if you went along to it. What did the German press have to say? They said this: in guided tours lasting an hour and a half each, local residents could watch the whole production process involved in making a Tesla Model Y, says DW.com. People took their time to see what was going on in the stamping and casting units, and later in the paint shop, and assembly and quality control sections of the huge plant. Wherever questions arose, Tesla employees were on hand to answer them. Visitors were told that 80% of the workforce will be German, 20% from 50 other countries. Also of some interest, 80% of all parts used in Giga Berlin will come from European suppliers. I'll pop a link to DW.com in the show notes if you would like to read more. Hey, stick around. Lots on the way. We're talking about a new Google Maps feature for EV drivers, and we'll talk about the Citroën EC4. That's coming up. Final couple of bits of Tesla news. They've been pretty shtum on progress of Cybertruck, Roadster and Semi, and now we know all coming 2023, if we're lucky. And we're not even in 2022 yet. They've been supply limited this year. That concerns batteries, chips, and as we found out, ships. And Elon put it at one point that no matter how many more vehicle models the company was selling, it wouldn't make any more vehicles. They're doing the best they can, says Zach at Clean Technica. With that in mind, and due to how many batteries and chips that the semi truck needs, that's going to be delayed until 2023. Tesla's Cybertruck delayed until the end of 2022 for the same reasons. Well, we all know the Cybertruck, which is now the cheapest Tesla you can buy in the range, needs the new 4680 cells. And we know that they are a long way off from being commercialized at a significant volume. But look, as far as everything I read says that the pilot plant is going great guns, right? And that at some point the 4680 cells, easy for me to say, will be up and running in Berlin and also in Austin, Texas. So end of 2022, it was meant to be now when Cybertruck was out. Not the first time Tesla have missed a stretch goal, and it won't be the last. Nobody should be surprised that it's going to be another year for Cybertruck. But even then, Elon Musk said volume production in 2023, which is what he often uses, that phrase, volume production. He says hopefully the Roadster in 23. Yeah, that Roadster's not coming in 23, is it? It's not, though, is it? 2025, maybe, Tesla Roadster, almost 10 years after we first saw it. I wonder if it'll look the same. I wonder. Now, news that'll make many Tesla fans smile. In the past, Tesla has been offering an adapter here that converted CCS to Type 2, the standard charging connector in Europe. However, Tesla didn't release an adapter that connected to its proprietary charger to convert CCS charging stations to work with the Tesla plug. Now, according to Slashgear, it's coming. It's on the way. Tesla's proprietary connector, used for the North American vehicles and some other markets as well, with a different standard plug and a lack of CCS. Some owners in North America have been using the third-party CHAdeMO and all that kind of stuff. But in South Korea, they've just put on sale a CCS Combo 1 adapter for the 3 and the Y, not the S and the X, interestingly. The adapter will be made available to owners from October 19th. Surely it will go outside of South Korea, and that'll mean that if you're in North America, you've got the proprietary Tesla connector, you can then use some CCS charging, which really opens up everywhere. It's pretty sweet, actually. This thing is quite short, quite stubby. It's not like a long cable adapter. It's, you know, more like, you know, something sort of a small USB to big USB kind of thing, or rather the other way around. So, yeah, that is a great bit of news for Tesla listeners. Next, we'll talk about Google Maps featuring some new electric vehicle facilities and some, or features, I should say. Google's been busy pushing out updates to Android Auto, Android Automotive, and Google Maps, making a push when it comes to mobility, the most important of which is Google Maps, and it's recently replaced the Android Auto app with its new driving mode, says T3 magazine. The most recent Google Map update is aimed specifically at Android Automotive and is designed to support the thermal battery management of EVs. Now, what it does is if you have an EV, and so we're looking at those that work closely with Android, so Volvos and Polestars, is it'll use the information in your navigation, like many EVs do, the location to the of the charging station that you are navigating to, and when you pull up at that charging station, the battery will be fully prepared to take take the maximum amount of charge as you turn up. That's great news, being able to actually affect the car's thermal management just by running Android in the car. Next, Citroën in the UK has introduced a number of important updates for their EC4 from next year. That's if you buy a car from now, October 2021 production. As part of the changes, they made some enhancements. The new EC4 has better efficiency and better real-world range under different driving conditions. WLTP range remains at 217 officially, but it will go further from the 50 kilowatt hour lithium-ion traction battery. On the road price of that bad boy is £30,995. That's 31 grand between friends. That's with the plug-in car grant of 2.5 already taken off. Next, Lancia Delta is coming back. It's going to be an EV. Lancia's CEO has pledged to revive the famed Delta name for a brand new EV, which will share a platform with Alfa Romeo, according to Car Throttle. Not expecting Lancia's reborn Delta to recapture the awesomeness of the old Integrale. That was a long time ago, and the WRC golden years now a distant memory. But a new all-electric Lancia Delta. Be very interesting to know what they do with that. Can't wait to see what the Lancia engineers come up with. And finally, James Bond's Aston Martin is going electric. The classic Bond automotive gets an EV makeover. The British company Lunas, backed by those including David Beckham, the famous footballer, is offering electric versions of the Aston DB4, DB5 and DB6, says Hypebeast website. The price tag for the substantial shift for the 5 and the 6 is looking into the 7-figure range. Yes, while there is limited information on the pricing, the DB6 will be cheaper but still exceed $1 million. The electrified DB6 will have a range of 255 miles, more than a non-EV DB6. The company has also promised the vehicle will include updating the brakes, the suspension, the steering, interior, comfort, convenience, all but up to modern standards, and new air conditioning, integration of the latest infotainment, nav systems and full Wi-Fi, but you're still driving James Bond's car, fully electric. And they've only relieved you of just over $1 million. What a bargain. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. Let's do it. Set up a brand new question. And we might run this one for a couple of weeks, actually, to give people a chance to answer it. When buying a used electric car, how do you feel about servicing? Do you want the previous person to have been back to the dealer every year, main dealer? On the dot, 12 months? Do you care? Like, some manufacturers like Tesla don't even have a service schedule. So how do you feel about buying a used EV and its service history or lack of? Email me your thoughts. Going to be an interesting one, this one, so I'm going to leave it on for a couple of weeks. I'll read them out on Sunday, so not next week, 27th, but 24th of October. I'm going to be really curious how you feel about used EV servicing if you were buying that car. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. If you can ever leave a review for the podcast, it'll mean a huge amount because other people see it. Hopefully you say something, you know, moderately nice, and they might listen, which is great. Hi to our premium partners of the podcast, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good and see you tomorrow for the start of a brand new week. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.